Meet the Kennedys at Lasseter's, hole at the waterhole. A cup of tea at Harold Sonia's nursery for a stroll. It's time to neighbors. CJ, Kate, and Vaya. Let's get the neighbors.
Episode 9000.
Ooh.
It's happening. It's happened.
I mean, look, there's no Tess Lotto tickets stuck to anyone's bum.
Yeah, look, let's get that right out of the way.
Oh, I sent a voice memo to Brett earlier because he hasn't watched the show yet as mm-hmm. we're recording. And, you know, normally I'm bombarded with memos from him. And I said episode 7000 was about Carl and Toady and Sonia nuding up and a scratchy stuck to a bum cheek and that sort of thing. And episode 9000 was about Paul realizing that he's a cunt.
Yeah. Don't forget episode 8000 where Piper was reaching 8000 YouTube subscribers for Pipe Up.
What a time. Alan Fletcher's favourite episode, that 7000.
Yes. We learnt that on the Neighbours live tour. 8000 subscribers would get you laughed out of town these days, wouldn't it, Pipes?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind 8000 subscribers.
No, we'll not kick it out of bed. I'm just saying in and amongst the TikTok crew.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, that's
8,000's nothing.
Scratching the surface.
What do you think she's doing now? Like, get ready with me to go.
GIWM.
Where is she going?
What job do you reckon she's got in Adelaide?
CJ can help me with this, but she's got to be doing social media for an organisation of some sort. What do you reckon? You're the marketer among us.
I would say a boring organisation. And it's an uphill battle. So for a period of time, I was doing marketing for an insurance company.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. I feel like it's something like that. It's insurance.
Do you reckon there's any Barossa Valley sophisticates in the nature of her job?
No, I don't think so. I think she'd like there to be.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yes.
She works for a council. She does the social media at maybe Barossa.
No, I was going to say Mount Gambier.
Mount Gambier.
Ain't nothing Mount Glambier about that one.
No. And that's probably a hashtag she uses.
Yeah.
Do you know what she would love to do? She'd love to be going to the Barossa, going to to the cellar door and seeing if they need anyone to do their socials, but they do not.
Yeah. No, because they've got – who are their people who go there? Boomers, mate. Boomers don't care that much.
The Facebook account is sorted. We don't need anyone else.
And I guess our story about Pipes – is more than what happened on the 9000 episode.
Okay, look, I see what they were shooting for here. It was a character study, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think more bums is always preferable when these things are concerned. This is a bonus episode, by the way. We've just slid into your feed on a Monday night.
I know. How could we do it?
Yeah. So, I mean, Neighbours started off tonight with a little monologue from Paul.
Yeah, which – gives me a twitch now whenever I hear a monologue voiceover.
Yes. It rubbed me the wrong way as well.
It made me go, oh, it's ending, it's ending, it's ending. Yeah. Or it's back, it's back.
Or something really good's going to happen. And then you get to the end of the episode and you go,
the voiceover's back.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, it was like a Christmas carol, right? Was it that kind of vibe?
Except by the end, Scrooge, spoiler alert, realizes the error of his ways and he turns over a new leaf and is kind to people. Whereas at the end of this, Paul's
probably back in the spa with Chelsea right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So the voiceover starts with Paul, a villain carries many labels. And we see this overlay of Kara. She's an art restorer now. She's restored the evil portrait, the demon-eyed Paul.
It looks different. I mean, I need to look at old mate's original.
She probably got AI to do it and reprinted it on a canvas. She goes, oh, okay, I fixed it, / it came in the mail and I'll bring it in.
What was the Officeworks employee joke we had? Oh, it was when they did the photocopies.
Yeah, the
put them on the car.
Of Nicolette's naked torso.
Yes. They do canvas printing at Officeworks.
I was there tonight and I'm still filled with office rage.
And the thing is that portrait, when did that get ruined?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's about an Officeworks turnover. That's that's when she did it.
And speaking of the leaflets, the Nicolette Rudy leaflets, I was at a community festival on the weekend and got back to my car and there was a leaflet under my windscreen.
Was it shaming a local resident?
No, it was an advertisement for a burger shop.
Oh, yeah. Piece of meat either way, right?
I was disappointed.
I went to a community festival on the weekend and guess who was there?
Who?
Nat Bass.
Oh. Ooh. She was name-checked this episode.
She was? Yes, yeah, she was.
We'll get to it. But you saw the Rogue Traders perform?
Yeah. My son loved them and was up the front of the thing for a lot of the show, which was terrifying for me. It got like rowdy. There was like a lot of people there.
Dare I say a mosh pit?
Yeah. Well, like a head nodding pit. Yeah.
They do a good show, the Rogue Traders.
They did. And look, they sounded really great. And Nat Bass, of course, was amazing.
Wonderful. A villain's biggest, this is where I take issue. It's two lines into the voiceover. A villain's biggest victim is often himself. No. Fuck off, voiceover
actually,
Paul.
Actually, Vern, I'm going to hold you up here. Finn Kelly, his biggest victim was himself.
Yeah, but also.
I mean, come on, Prue deserved to die. Gaz can't deserve to die. Finn Kelly, hoist on his own petard by killing himself in his own shallow grave he dug.
I'll take issue with the word often. A villain's biggest victim is not often himself.
True.
True. Sometimes it's himself. No. Yeah. Sure, you might be a bit of collateral damage on the way to ruining other people's lives.
It tends not to end well for the villain, but it doesn't mean that they were the most harmed.
So be less of a villain then, asshole, if you're so worried about yourself.
Yeah.
We see little Isla. Nicola and Isla are in the waterhole. That's where I take my preschool age child to the pub a lot.
Nicola walks in to Grandpa's pub and is surprised that Grandpa is there. Lassiter's 100% off, yeah, just off behind the bar. There'd be a pokies room there. It would not be a place you'd be taking your toddler to.
No, I would only take my preschooler to a pub in the middle of the day if one of us needs to wee.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes, exactly, because they're nearly always clean. I will pay them that. Daytime toilet at a bistro pub. Nice.
And yes, I might need chips, but not that urgently. There's chips somewhere else. There's chips at a local cafe or fast food outlet.
Exactly. Well, okay, maybe if there's a beer garden that's nice as well.
Get a coffee, babuccino, yep.
Yep.
Nicolette. So the lay of the land with the Robinson clan is that Aaron and Nicolette and Leo have all just outlawed Paul. They're like, no more Paul Robinson in our lives because he indirectly led to the death of David and all this other stuff that we'll get into.
Can I just ask, is Leo living at Jane's house too?
I think he hangs out there. He said that they got an apartment, he and Abigail. They probably live in that apartment that Carl and Izzy lived in for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's going to be living in either Robinson Heights or Robinson Pines.
Yeah, they mentioned Robinson Pines in the will, and that reminded me, what is that again?
I have no idea.
And number two, is it still around?
Well, Pines, I mean, that suggests like an old folks home.
It sounds, that's a much better name than Irene Rising.
Shady Pines.
They've all kind of disowned Paul, and you would think that that would extend to, yeah, his place of work.
Yeah. Yet they're constantly surprised that Paul keeps turning up at his own pub.
Yeah, where he runs a lot of his staff meetings. So Cara's carrying the painting of Paul and little Isla sees it, his granddaughter, runs to it.
Now, do you, like, call BS on this?
Isla running to the painting?
Yeah.
I know, I saw it as genuine.
Yeah, that she had... I believe that she'd see it and recognise it, even though he does look a bit evil in the painting.
I mean, the real man was a few metres away, so it would have been even more heartfelt if she'd run to him. Mm. Gone, gee, Dad, over there.
It would have. What I call BS on is she is, what, three?
Nearly, I think she's four now. They've said four, yeah.
Four. Like, I don't know how much any of your kids remember from pre-two. But not much.
No, not at all.
My
son. Yeah. Even now, like, Madge can't remember much of what happened in 2020.
Yeah. Well, it's good.
My son remembers a lot, but he's a bit closer to that age.
Yeah.
But I think is your point that she wouldn't have that much of an attachment to Paul?
Well, because then she was away for 2 years and then David didn't want her seeing him for the last 6 months either.
She saw him that day at the Christmas fete.
Yeah.
And one or two other events where they let them have cuddles.
Yeah. So I'm just feeling like that wouldn't mean that, like, she feels immediately better.
I think Nicolette's point is that she's associating Paul with David.
Maybe.
So that whenever – the reason we saw G-Dad is because he's daddy's dad.
So she's got some kind of another layer to this connection. Like she's sensing her dad, which is heartbreaking. But also maybe she just thought it was a cool painting. Ned Willis, represent.
I was just thinking.
Still Paul, got it, mate.
Paul's got to update his will to give Isla David's share.
Well, yeah. I think maybe Isla's got an eye for it. She's like, well, she heard that Chelsea's been poking around in the will.
Not just a cute kid.
I'm not on there. So let's get me and my little cousin on there.
Yeah. I mean, the little cousin.
No, Abigail won't be going on to it because Abigail's getting Leo's share. But now David's gone. He's got to put, Isla in on that one.
Yeah.
Get onto it.
Kate and I are very concerned about this.
Yeah. There's got to be an equal distribution. But she then spots him, doesn't she?
She does. But by then, Nicolette's kind of like scurrying away with her.
It's just not a nice pub. Like, would you go there to hang out?
Nah.
No.
Unless it was like, oh, my book club's meeting there. Then I guess I have to go.
But I think it's just because, like, Haz's has got dog hair everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That fair puts me off, to be honest.
Bring back the bloody coffee cart. Let's meet there.
Yeah.
I'll go down to the place that had the sand. What was that called?
Oh, Flamingo Bar, rest in peace. Yeah. I loved Flamingo Bar.
I mean, I don't think Isla and her cousin will be going there.
Well, I mean.
Maybe put a plaque down over there. You never know.
Oh, that doesn't last long.
I was just thinking of those kids playing in the sand. There'd be so much cat shit in there.
Oh.
R.I.P. Flamingo Bar and old mate.
And the last time we had a cat on the show, Clementine. Nicolette brings it up with Aaron. She's like, look, Isla is emotional. She clung to this painting. And he goes, let's go talk to Dr. Marr about it.
Mate, the answer ain't Dr. Marr. The answer is you doing some actual shit with your own daughter as. Yeah. That's what the answer is. That's going to give her a more secure attachment than trying to work out whatever Dr. Marr suggests.
And trauma counselling, like from a therapist that's not a hospital doctor.
Well, he needs the counselling first. Heal thyself first before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he needs to see a trauma counsellor for this, what he's going through. And in that, he can get some tools to reconnect with his daughter. And also, like, we've got a friend that's a doctor, Dr. Kathy, and I've known her since we were 15. And I'm above 40. And in that time, obviously she wasn't a doctor that whole time, but I've asked her for medical advice once. And that's because I was in Hawaii and I had hives and I was panicking.
Yeah, that would 100% wear out your welcome going across to ask your neighbour medical questions.
After they've just moved in and they've had two sieges, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Like we have medical people in our family as well. And I'm like, even like within family, it's like, no, you can really wear out. Yeah. Mm. You're welcome on that.
Yeah. I mean, not by my mum. My mum used to be a nurse. I'll ask her literally anything, any time of day. But she needs a pediatrician.
I ask, it's different with nurses. Our friend Claire, who's a midwife, I asked her 40,000 questions.
Yeah. It is different because
they know more.
they know more about caring for you. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you need to be diagnosed, go to a doctor.
Yeah.
But then they should be asking a pediatrician, do you know a good child psychologist? Mm. Because it's not just any psychologist. And also Remy doesn't know anyone locally. Only worked here for like a few months.
So it was really unclear if he was going to her as a friend or as a patient, in which case book an appointment if you want to see. Yeah. I mean, fair enough. Sometimes like.
I mean, she'll stitch up a forehead if you need that done.
Yeah, or look after your kid when there's a siege.
And sometimes, like, you can find a really great GP and you want to get some talk therapy from them and they'll listen to you if you've got concerns. But you really, I don't know if your neighbour in the middle of the day is going to be the person. So while they're talking to Aaron and Nicolette, Chelsea bursts in. Can Paul see Isla?
Yeah.
Chelsea, mate. Yeah, wow. She really became a main character in this episode, didn't she?
I was waiting for Kara to look around and go, who are you again? Oh, that's right, you're my sister. Because I literally forgot they were sisters.
I forgot too. I only just remembered when you said that. Firstly, Jane told Chelsea where to find them. Is Jane willing to do anything?
Jane's pissing me off in this episode as well. Mm. Like she's like, oh, well, why don't you get some sleep while your daughter's sleeping? And it's like, bitch, because if she wakes up, I know you're not going to help her, are you?
But also, it's the middle of the frickin' day, Mum.
Let me be a human, an independent woman.
And I've got some life admin to attend to.
Also, I've just got to scroll. I've got to doom scroll TikTok.
Exactly.
or like anything.
This is mama's downtime.
Let me be a human.
I really hard relate to Nicolette in these episodes.
I really want them to stop putting this kid to bed all the time.
Oh, yeah, it upsets. She's, oh, wonder why she can't sleep at night. Oh, she's having naps and she's four. Like, there's a reason. There's like, you know, I was watching her tonight. I was going, thinking, Nicolette should have gone to sleep school because would have taught you about these things.
But I think the thing is that she's traumatized, as we've said. Mm. She's grieving this child.
Also, I feel that, though, that they have not, well, Aaron disappearing has been a major component of this grief.
It's added a layer of trauma.
Where they could have made it much easier, like David's death, much easier on her and explained it to her in terms that a child of her age could understand.
Nicolette said she asked if Dada was going to heaven as well. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
But the thing is that, like, stop putting this child who's having awful thoughts, one of them that you just mentioned, alone with her thoughts in the day when she's not able to sleep or even at night when she's like, don't.
Take her down the playground. Yeah. Physically exercise her until she's exhausted and put her to bed at 6 p.m.
Have a bath
with her. That's Mama Kate's advice on that one.
But also, but just stop leaving her alone to have feelings. Like, hold her.
So Nicolette is at her wit's end and she decides, you know what? What have I got to lose? I'm going to take her over to see Granddad Paul.
Yeah.
Nicolette's touched out as well because Aaron dropping the ball and Jane just being fucking useless.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see why you would do that.
Mm. Even when she first looked at Paul and considered taking him to Isla, I thought, oh, she could use him as another babysitter. That's really helpful. Like another grandparent, another family member on hand.
And it would actually be mutually beneficial for Paul to have a distraction too.
Which is what he said. As soon as she came over, they cuddled and she was really happy and cute as a button.
He could take her for a baby chino. He could like chat to the folk in the cafe and that.
And they were playing dollies, which was so adorable.
And like, let's just remember, he didn't kill David.
No. That was some other guy. Yeah. Well, also it was David kind of had a big hand in his own death as well.
Yeah, he could have been saved.
Mm. Yeah. But let's bring up all the other things he did. We'll get that later, right?
Yeah, so Nicolette says this is the happiest she's been since obviously David, and Paul said, well, me too. It was a really lovely moment.
Yeah, tell you what, Chelsea needs to up her game. Obviously, what she's doing isn't making him that happy.
Wow. But gosh, she's clinging on. Okay, so meanwhile, we'll go back to Aaron, who bails up Chelsea. He's like, he said to Kara, you need to keep your sister away from Paul for her own good. And Kara and Remy are like, nah, she deserves this.
Aaron is literally white knighting for Chelsea. He's like, I'm going to save the day, because like Paul's such a devious bastard.
He goes to see her at the Lassiter's office.
Which is so weird that she's sitting at that desk with the photo of Jim Robinson staring at her.
Mm. Oh, I wish he'd come and have a chat.
God, Chelsea would love him.
Get out the bauble.
Yeah. I'd love that if she was just sitting there and then the bauble speaks out from a drawer. Chelsea.
Open the drawer.
Get out of here, you slapper.
I've seen women like you before. In fact, it was in my last living moments.
Who was that? Who was that a reference to?
Annalisa's mum, who walked out on him mid-heart attack.
Wow.
She could have rung the ambulance and he could have lived.
Get out of here.
I'm pretty sure. from what I remember. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Annalisa's mum. You know, like.
Did she look like Annalise?
Yeah, Annalise Hartman.
Yeah, she's a glamorous blonde. Mm. Yeah.
Casting had a real tough day there. He sits Chelsea down and he goes, Paul's no good. And let me read out this laundry list of reasons why.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, CJ.
Again, goes to Paul's place of work to do all of this. Like, he's not staying away from Paul much, is he?
That's what killed me as well. Ridiculous. And then suddenly he turns up in Paul's apartment and he's horrified to see Paul there too.
Oh my God.
Like, you guys moved before, just move again. Yeah. As if you would just, why are they staying?
Yeah. Like, go with Jane to the UK.
Yes.
Guy Pearce is there.
Sorry, there's Annalise Hartman's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Fiona.
Yeah. What's her actor name?
Suzanne Dudley.
She looks super familiar.
She does. Yeah. She has the look of someone famous.
She's treaded the boards all over the joint a bit.
All right. Here's the laundry list. Okay. Go for it.
Oh, no. It's Festivus has come to Erinsborough, yes. with Aaron's airing of grievances.
I think he did a pretty good job, but he didn't make Paul sound as evil as I've made him sound on this podcast before. He's spilling the tea. He starts with Gus, which is where, you know, I was there when Gus burnt down the pub.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you feel traumatized, or like, are you on Gus's side or Paul's side when it comes to that matter?
Well, they got me out, so I didn't suffer much trauma. They got me out of there pretty quick sticks. Gus burning the place down. Actually, I wrote down Gus, Lynn, Steph.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor victim, Steph. She got gaslit. And Aaron was involved in that. But no, it was all Paul's idea.
Okay. I did feel sorry for Steph. That was really brutal when he was gaslighting Steph into thinking she was going crazy. But she
just, I can't even remember that part, but I never liked Steph.
She, like, so wasn't on her meds, like, or something.
Oh, well. But, like, Aaron all like, oh, yeah, I was involved with it, but it was all Paul. Okay, mate, maybe you should have left this one off the list because it sounds like you're culpable too.
Paul had, like, planted Bluetooth speakers to play, like, baby music to make her, like, think about the son she gave up and stuff. It was horrible.
He brought up Paul paying Nicolette $1 million for the baby. Like, Nicolette wasn't part of this shitstorm as well.
Who does that?
But I love that Chelsea was just like, oh, okay. This sounds like a business opportunity for me.
She's like, oh, I've been going down the wrong avenue with the will.
Maybe can I reverse menopause?
Does he want one of my adult children? I'll sell them.
One of my favorite things he mentioned was the tragedy of poor shitbag Brent.
Oh.
Paul drove him off.
The stuff that Aaron was referencing, I'm like, this stuff is small fry.
And I was like, is this Brent who was on the roof? Or was it the kid who was on the roof? I can't remember.
He's like, he didn't want her falling in love with Harlow. I'm like, mate, they were already in love.
And then he sent him to New Zealand. It's like, what, to be reunited with his family? Mate, come on. There's holes in all of these scenarios. But my favourite thing was he polluted the wetlands.
That was amazing.
What was that? Did he kill Kerry Bishop as well?
Toxic waste is what I've written
what
here.
What was that?
That caused Dylan's baby to have leukaemia. I'm like, okay.
That is a stretch.
Nicolette, Chelsea was saying, okay, I don't believe all this. I didn't believe it at that point.
I don't believe that one. Yeah. And like, what's he going to say? Oh, and he caused himself to lose half his own leg.
What about the point that we missed of him being unfaithful to Lynn Scully?
Lynn broke it off with him. Or did he break it off with her before the day had ended?
He goes,
before the sun went down.
He goes, Terrage was already was engaged when she slept with Paul. Like, firstly, that's her business.
Who was she engaged to? Gaz.
Bloody Gaz can.
Oh, mate. Paul deserves an Order of Australia for breaking that one up.
Remember the sofa?
You can never forget.
The stains. Look, he without sin cast the first stone. I mean, Terrage, how many people on Ramsay Street has she slept with?
Yeah, all of them. Good luck to her.
Yeah.
Lynn Scully came back on Rebecca's wedding day and had a brawl with her on the street. Like, if we're going to start bringing up old characters, they've got bigger flaws than Paul.
Yeah, so if you're going to bring up, if anything, to besmirch Paul, it's Rebecca, because he basically coerced his wife into having sex with him because she was wanting to sleep in single beds and he said, I know that your son tried to push me off the roof, so if you don't want him, but it was her. Her son was, like, Declan was in trouble for the roof pushing.
Was it Declan or Fakelin?
Hard to say.
If it was Fakelin,
I think it was,
let him have it.
I think it was real Declan. And he was in trouble for it, but Rebecca had done it or something. And he's like, you have to keep sleeping with me or I'm going to tell the police. And pushed the single beds together. I'm like, that is how you bring down Paul's reputation.
But then Rebecca went off with bloody Michael Williams.
Yeah, but because she was being
serial shagger.
Yeah, because she was being coerced by her husband to have sex against her will.
A man worse than Paul.
What I really take from this is that instead of using the word sex, they had single beds and then they pushed them together.
Yeah, like the olden days, like the Flintstones.
Yeah, or like Faulty Towers.
CJ, I think you need to have the floor.
I don't, like, to be honest, like, when they read the list, other than the $1 million baby, I, like, don't remember any of those things.
I'm still puzzling over polluting the wetlands. What wetlands? We're in Erinsborough.
Toxic waste.
Maybe it was, like, a pond on Lassender's side, you know, like the pond.
Lassender's Lake?
Yeah.
Maybe they drain used to be, the swamp?
Is that maybe there used to be greenery there.
Is that a metaphor?
Carl Kennedy's CDs are surely leaching heavy metals into that water.
But go yell at Susan about Carl's right prescription. What about, this is where I thought the wheels are falling off a little bit, because I thought he did a pretty good job. When Chelsea said, you were a great storyteller, he did a pretty good job of explaining this stuff in a succinct way. But it started to lose a bit of steam when he got to, and Harold Bishop?
I was like, nah, mate. You know what? Controversial statement from me. But you know what? Fuck Harold Bishop.
Fuck Harold.
Fucking, I don't care. Oh, the nicest man you'll ever meet. Really? I don't think he is.
He turned on a dime.
He was quite nasty to Melanie.
Yeah.
He was.
With no reason. And he didn't apologize. Actually,
they really, I think, really kind of did the dirty on his character at that point by turning him to such an asshole or to sweet Mel.
And the way Aaron was explaining it, like he tried to.
Harold Paul tried to kill Paul because he thought Paul was responsible for his family dying. No, it was his psychotic son.
Yes.
You know, the brother of your dead husband.
So that was really weird for him to bring that up. He goes, Harold thought Paul was killing his family. I'm like, you can't bring up things that people thought that didn't happen.
Also, that sounds like some sort of psychosis.
Yeah. Look, to be honest, I was with Chelsea at this. I'd be like, oh, really?
I wanted to.
Oh, that's terrible.
She was. Oh. I wanted to run in and go and with the printout of the perfect blend and go, Aaron. I mean, you missed this.
Like, all he needs to say is we didn't speak to him for 2 years because David, you know, the dead one, he didn't want us to because Paul keeps getting involved in our life and things end badly.
And he tried to hide a literal almost dead body. Like,
yeah, but that still wasn't even against them. And also, it's not like he killed. Like, no one killed them.
But he could have said that, to your point. He could have said, we didn't speak to him for 2 years because he tried to cover up a murder, what we thought was a murder.
But just that every time he got involved in our lives, things went wrong. And we had started to forgive him. We shouldn't have because, again, he got involved in our life and now David's dead. He blamed the blonde hotel heiress woman. What's her name?
Oh, Krista, the sister.
Krista, the sister. He blamed Krista, the sister, for the death. And got Aaron on board to that, he being Paul, got Aaron on board to blaming her, right? Mm. And saying she couldn't be around because of that. Like, Paul's more involved than she is, to be honest. I don't think, I want to like point out, he didn't kill David. And the way they are behaving is like he did kill David. Mm. But Aaron is fair enough to say, like, I don't want to be part of this guy's life anymore. And David's dead, so I don't have to be.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't say, and he was so evil, his very first wife shot him.
Because he cherry-picked from the perfect blend.
Yeah.
He only read halfway. You know how sometimes they don't update
and,
for a bit?
And his second wife left him when she was pregnant with triplets.
Yeah. So, and then Chelsea would have been like, I have some questions for Gail. Can I give her a call?
Yeah. Triplets, you say? He sounds very fertile.
Meanwhile, speaking of the triplets, Krista is moving on with her life. She has a thick old baby name book.
Now I was waiting because you guys like the names.
Oh, yeah.
I had baby name books that I kept from when my brother was born when I was 10. And I've still got them because I love just reading them for fun.
We've got one book that Mum bought when my sister was born and it's beautiful. It's really pretty, but it's like a picture book size one. But I did not look at one baby name book. Because, you know, we've got the internet these days.
Yeah. And I didn't either because I just knew what I was going to choose.
And there's like websites like Nameberry, which is amazing. And they actually do have suggestions based on names that you already like as well.
Yeah. Behind the Name really goes into the historical origins. Anyway, CJ's glazing over.
I don't know, but she's been out to old Angus and Robinson.
Cracked a fresh newie. Well, when you're an heiress, you can just buy it.
Maybe she got it from one of the like book library things on the street.
The street library.
Yeah, like with Piper.
There'd be a lot of soap opera rejected baby name books that aren't needed anymore.
So she hasn't opened a name book. She's opened Perfect Blend.
Yes, her first pairing of names that she liked. She goes, I've been thinking of names. And Leo's like, oh, yeah, hit me. And she goes, Finn or Izzy? Leo's like tugging his collar going,
He goes, you might as well call them Robert or Andrea.
Well, firstly, Chris is not calling your child Robert or Andrea, Leo.
Because it's not 1960, it's not 1973, 74. That's why he's not.
The face then, it was like, Robert's not on the list, mate. Don't worry about it.
Also, I love the way he said hit me like he is in his mind the father.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I'm rejecting all of these. You don't get a say, buddy. No.
To be honest, Marnaka had better naming taste than Krista's parents.
100%. What was David's middle name? It was on that funeral pamphlet.
I don't know.
But anyway, I reckon the baby's name's going to be called David.
You can't pass the name David down. Do you know who had this problem? Sophie Simpson.
Who?
Rebecca Elmaloglu on Home and Away.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When she got pregnant and her baby daddy died and his name was David and she was distraught because she found out she was going to be having a girl and she burst into tears like, I can't pass David's name on to a girl.
Davina?
Well, that was not viable. Okay, so she chose Tamara.
I mean, yeah, cool.
Oh, well, the obvious link to that, right there.
It was the 90s.
She also suggests Darcy.
Yeah.
And Leo's like, nah. No.
Was he been reading the old guide to what was the history?
The history book. He must have. Also, firstly,
does Leo read?
Oh, there's a lot of pictures in that book. Harold put a lot of pictures in that book. Leo.
Great guy, apparently.
Leo. Finn and Izzy are not on the same level here.
No, Finn. Yep, 100% would believe that somebody in 2024 would call their son Finn.
I just meant character-wise. Like, you wouldn't go, you can't call them Finn or Izzy. One's a murderer and a chemical terrorist. The other one's
a slag.
I feel like you could do much worse than Isabel Hoyland. Like,
definitely. And even, I don't know what Darcy's crimes were, nor do I care.
I don't remember. But
he was the first neighbour in Warrenor prison.
Yeah. But also, but what for? Do you remember? But,
medical malpractice. Also, which actually, maybe that is the link to David.
But
maybe.
He's a Kennedy.
That's so nice.
So he's linked to the Kennedys and Izzy is your friend's mum.
Yeah, Ho-Ho's mum.
So stop shit-talking all these people in the pub.
Do you reckon she said those names at the share house and Ho-Ho's like, aw, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, the fact he brought up Andrea before Scarlett, you think Scarlett would have had a bigger impact on him?
And you'd think Krista would have liked Scarlett as an option. Mm. Anyway, Krista, really appreciate your naming journey. Sing out to me and Kate if you want to narrow down a shortlist.
Yeah, and it won't be anything like Krista.
No. And if it is, it'll be with a CH, telling you that for free. So as Bus... He goes, I'm going to go talk to Paul right now and show. I'm going to make him say all this stuff to you. Well, he'll tell it better. He'll make himself sound way worse than you just made him sound.
And he really would.
He wants to make an impact. But he walks in and he sees that Isla's there and he cuts sick at Nicolette. And Nicolette's like, not in front of the child, please. Stop screaming at me. They go back home and he's still screaming at her. Jane goes to take Isla some warm milk. I'm like, okay. She's not one.
This is why your child has sleeping problems.
She's not one, but okay.
What time do we think it is now?
It looks to be about 6, 5.
I mean, it seems to be how they're getting around the actor not being on set. They're just always trying to put the child to sleep.
Just say she's on the iPad in the other room.
Yeah. Give the kid dinner. Put it to bed. Yeah. I don't know.
We can't have children on set all day. So where is she putting Isla that makes sense? That's not asleep.
Well, like asleep once, right? Yeah. But like daycare?
Or just, well, that's where Abby went to daycare the other day, by the way.
Good.
But, okay, she can say she's playing in her room.
Yeah.
We're going to play. She's playing dolls.
Or like you said, very relatable. She's on the iPad.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore.
Aaron cuts sick at Nicolette, says, that's it, I'm done with you. Mm. Like, well, that's your daughter's mum. So what's your plan B?
I'm seeing like a future of like Bechdel, Legal's going to have to get involved. Like they're going to have to do, I can't say custody.
They're going to have to come up with a legal arrangement of who this child is going to live with full time.
Yeah. So that's why I was asking where Leo is, because maybe Aaron can go and live with Leo, wherever that is, because he's not going to live with Paul. Then. Nicolette's going to stay with her mum.
There's not enough people living in the Kennedy house right now. There's only Ho-Ho lives there.
Yeah. And not even Kennedys. There's no Kennedys.
Melanie's living there.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
They keep trying to kick her out and she won't go. Yeah.
Maybe Aaron could go and live with Toady because, you know, they've got the whole like dead spouse bond.
That'll bring the vibe up.
Way up. Yeah. I mean, maybe they could put some food in the fridge. That'd do it.
So we'll come back to them because the vibes are down at Toad Rage. Mm. They keep trying to have a talk. Like Toadie's like, let's talk about our feelings. And Rage is like, boring. I'd rather go talk about our Ernie Rising. Thanks. And he keeps following her around and sitting down next to her at the cafe. And she's like, I don't have time to talk. But then she stops and helps out Byron and Holly bagging out Chelsea's involvement at Lassiter's to get her advice.
Because Chelsea's brought in a new policy of allowing every single person to have a late checkout, which doesn't work too well in the hotel industry where you're on a time crunch to get all the rooms prepped.
Which Therese had to explain to them. I love it. She's like, you can take the hotel out of the lady.
Well, where's our favourite behind the scenes worker at, you know, the one that was corrupt?
Yeah, yeah.
The housekeeper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She'd be spitting chips.
Ho-Ho had my favourite line. Byron goes, I can't afford to be unemployed. Byron, do you know what will make you a lot of money?
Yeah.
Your previous career.
Go back to that job for sure.
Ho-Ho suggests quiet quitting. CJ, what did you make of that?
Yeah, I'm all for that because I think the real problem with the offering all the guests a late checkout is there's just no guests.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually matter what time they're leaving because they're not there.
I don't think Ho-Ho's worked a day in her life.
No.
No, she worked when Eden and Krista were getting it on all the time around the countryside.
The barmaid burned her out.
The tour of Australia.
That hotel just looks dirty. All the rooms would be foul. I bet they wouldn't even change the sheets properly.
So quiet quitting at like an office job is like, okay, I'm going to be here at 9, but I'm going to be on Facebook. I'm going to be checking eBay. I'm going to, you know, do my errands. And then, oh, maybe I'll log in at 11 and do some tasks. And I'm going to go for lunch and really stroll and take my time.
Or the work from home one where you just touch your mouse every 40 minutes or every, depending on how long your screen's on, you just move your computer and like you get just enough done that you don't get like reported.
What does the moving the mouse do? Can they track that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Click counting.
No, but it's even more sophisticated than that. You don't need to physically do it. You can get things that make your mouse.
However.
Yeah. Oh, is it being picked up on? AI's onto it?
No, 100% it's onto it. So most work computers now, you actually can't plug an external USB device into them other than a mouse.
But what if you've got your mouse on top of something actually?
Moves.
Yeah,
you can do that. But mostly unless your mouse is clicking, it doesn't keep your computer
awake. You need the old Homer Simpson.
Or the bird that drinks the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
But quiet quitting at a hotel is like you still have to clean the room and you still have to check the person in.
Yeah, I reckon, like Kate said, they're not cleaning.
They're cleaning anyway.
Yeah, well, that's true. But they're just like making the bed, like as in drawing it straight.
They just go, get rid of the pubes. That's it.
Maybe
they get rid of them. Maybe they go, oh, bonus content.
Yeah. And then they're refilling the mini fridge because obviously.
You make your coin.
You make your coin doing that. They're probably drinking the vodka and filling it up with water. You know, they'd just be not checking people, like not answering them, like Holly did when Mr. Barton was there. Just like sit there at the counter and wait for someone to come to you. Don't offer any service. It seems like they could do it.
So Therese is incensed that they're letting the hotel fall into disarray.
Yeah, well, she's going to get it in the will, don't forget.
And Chelsea's watch. So she wants to help them and she's, you know, talking to Mackenzie about their rights and everything. And this gets back to Toady.
Mm.
Toady had like almost like a Mr. Darcy kind of moment, didn't he? When he's on the street.
Oh, yeah.
I actually called Phil in and I was like, Phil, quick, come watch this.
Which bit? Talk us through it.
It was when he was on the street and Mel was out on the front lawn whippersnippering, which actually today I came to an amazing realization that a whippersnipper or a line trimmer, they may be called in the UK, is basically a mechanized scythe. And I'd never thought of that before.
Yeah.
You know, like the Grim Reaper holds? Yeah. It's basically that. But
fast.
A little less. Imagine if the Grim Reaper was holding a whippersnipper instead.
I'd love to imagine that.
Anyway, so Melanie's been whippersnippering Carl's front yard. And he came up and it was basically like that Mr. Darcy moment where he all like emerged out of the pond all kind of
sticky and wet.
Yeah, and looking brooding. And I was like, come on, Toad's going to Spawn or something's going to happen. He's going to pash her.
Grab her and ravish her. And she's there in her gardening gloves and her goggles.
This is it. This is going to be our big episode 9000 moment. Mm. And he's got shifty eyes looking around like he's trying to see, are there witnesses to this?
No, there was just us.
No, there was nothing.
Us poor fools waiting for something to happen.
Like, I like them together, but also like this like panty thing that's going on. I don't know.
Panty as in panting, not panties, which is we want more panties.
Yeah.
But also she's standing there in her gardening gloves and goggles and she looked a vision and Toadie's like lusting for her, like looking at her like, I need to talk to you because Tarage keeps wanting to help Paul and why won't she talk to me and why won't she lean on me? And she's like, and Mel's like, I wish I could help you through your pain.
I think at some point Mel would just say, Toad, can we stop talking about her?
Also,
can't we focus on something positive in your life? That's the way you get in. Oh. You can dig in. You'd be like, I want to talk about things that make you happy, Toad.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
That's great. I love
See,
this.
See, that's so like backhanded. Yeah.
Yes. But instead, I just kept waiting for Mel to go, you remember how you married someone else while I was gone for 2 months?
Oh, no. That's the vinegar. She needs the honey to bring the toad back in.
Yeah. She is being like, because she's joyous. Like, particularly, we love Tarange. Don't get me wrong. But
we love Mel more.
Yeah. But also Mel's joy.
True.
We love Tarange, but we don't love Tarange with the toad.
No. Mel is a joyous person that made Toadie laugh and the jungle lingerie and
their couple name, Melody.
Sweet Melody.
Sweet Melody. Versus Toad Rage.
She misses the kids. They missed her.
Yeah, she went down on him at work.
One of those kids has vanished off the face of the earth
Is he just going to turn up as the original Hugo?
Can Sarge put out an APB?
Can we get Iconic John to come back in and just be like, hey, guys, I've missed you all.
I'm aged back into the role because it's been gone for so long.
Is there only a certain amount of hours for children or is it each child?
No, like
it's each child.
Each child gets its own batch of hours.
But then they also need to have like chaperones on set as well.
Right, yeah. Okay, yep.
So also someone like baby Isla, who's preschool age, can't necessarily hit her mark and do her lines. Like clearly they're feeding her some amazing material to work off of to get the performances that they're getting.
Yeah.
And also they're so flexible with how they work with her, aren't they? They just improv around her.
And they have lots of toys. Her and Abigail, they have lots of toys and she's colouring in all the time and so she's interacting with her environment and they play off of that.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they haven't written a plot point for Hugo to do anything with.
They need to send him off to genius boarding school.
They do. Soccer camp.
Ben Kirk's.
What's he going to – he's got to inherit something from Andrea, maybe like rock climbing or something.
Well, yes. Something shifty, put it that way. Obviously Isla needs to be the focus at the moment anyway. Like that makes sense. And Abigail second.
Abigail has paid for childcare.
Yeah.
That's consistent.
So Toadie runs out of there, runs out of the Kennedy front yard.
Leaving us all frustrated at this point. Yeah,
God.
You know what I found particularly weird about this is that we've got no coups in the 9000th episode.
Yeah.
And next week we're going to have, or is it the week after, we're going to have the 39th anniversary of Neighbours and there's going to be no coups as well.
Yeah, I'm feeling the absence of coups quite a bit.
Yeah. See, the visit to Dr. Ma, that should have been Carl and Susan, because Susan would have done the teacher, you know, outlook. Mm. And I know she taught high school, but she still knows kids.
Yeah.
And Carl would have done the doctor outlook. And he's a local doctor that would know the psychologist in the area.
Yeah. And they're not that close with the Varga Murphys. So they should have been like, oh, this is inappropriate. Remy would have been like, this is inappropriate, Aaron. Can you come and see me at work?
Aaron, I'm just about to head off to see my folks in Werribee. So
remember what? I think she would have just said, I'll come down to the hospital. I've got a list. And she would have said, I've got a list at the, like, she would have taken them back to where you see.
And because there's no backup, Susan and Carl, to give us the joy, you know, like there's no couple, if it was Toadie and Mel, like there's no other couple to bring us that bouncing off of each other. And
they're not going to go to Sarge and Wendy.
No. See, but even that is more appropriate. They've known them longer. Mm. And he's the cop. He'd know all the child psychologists.
So Toadie finds out from Mackenzie that Tarage is trying to get legal advice for the hotel. And Max, like,
how dare she?
Yeah, she's like, oh, she's trying to help them. She's not thinking of them.
This is her asset in waiting. I mean, do you reckon she knows about the contents of the will?
No.
She maybe did when he put it in, but not that it was still the case when they broke up.
No, because it said my ex-wife.
Oh, yeah, true.
So I don't think she knows.
Good. Yeah. There you go. Debt siege on the job right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the fucking plaque's gone missing.
Josh, my God.
Kate said, didn't one of you say last ep, just get another one?
Oh, no, after my grandfather's one got stolen by scumbags. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, sure, it's been a longer gap in time since my grandfather died, and he was my grandfather and not my son. I'd probably feel different if it was my son, even if my son was an absolute asshole like Pastore Josh was.
A mother's eyes, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, who was it? Someone was like, no, we're going to get it. Toadie was like, we'll get another one and we'll put it in a better location. Like, not outside the lifts at Lassiter's.
She's like, but that's where he died. And also I think Doug, I can't remember exactly.
Oh, Doug was out out by where Mrs. Punt fell over.
Yeah.
Lassiter's Lake is literally, I don't know, a 20-meter walk from that spot.
Also, what about a swimming pool? Josh liked to swim. He was going to be a Commonwealth Games swimmer.
Like the Harold Holt pool.
Exactly. The Josh Willis Memorial pool.
You think old mate Az would have blamed Paul for Kate dying at the murder rotunda?
She came up in the Gus chat. He's like, then she came back and killed his niece.
And then he got her brother a scholarship at the basketball school.
We never saw him again.
Wonder what happened to him.
Worst of all, he called his nephew a non-contributing zero.
Even though he was.
Actually, when we were rewatching 2013, he wouldn't let little Sophie mack on with the brother of the lead singer of Red Cotton.
How dare he repress her sexuality?
I was so shut off on Sophie's behalf.
She could have said, but he's great in the sack, okay?
She's like, I'm not seeing any problems here, Aaron.
Didn't you bang Joel Creasy?
And then she reached forward.
Oh, no, sorry, that was Ash Williams. No, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Then she reached forward and took Paul's hand.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because she's like, how am I going to get these misfiring ovaries back in order to get myself a $1 million baby?
The plaque goes missing. Krista's upset because she told the tradies to be careful. Well, there's famous last words to a tradie.
Yeah.
And we know that Chelsea sent it off to the garbage.
Also, so it looks like the wall was replastered. Why?
Wait, you know what I don't get? Why wasn't the plaque put behind the desk at the hotel desk when that's like maybe 3 meters away from where the plaque was? You're like, let's just keep it safe over here without like people just walking past it.
And the thing is, yeah, in a box of rubbish. The thing is that we find out in this interaction that Therese comes and visits the plaque.
Yeah, she says to Toadie, you know how much I like to come and visit it.
I'm basically hanging out at Paul's front door.
Like, weird. I mean, it's not his grave.
Does he have one?
I don't think so.
Sorry, I was just thinking he's gone to a very hot place right now. He's in hell.
Thank you.
Maybe she could visit him in the boiler room. Okay, and then the other thing, Trey says, how would you feel if Sonia's mural got vandalized? And Toadie is shocked that Trey brings this up. And I really loved that she brought him back to this because it's horrific that Toadie lost his wife the way that he did and the age she did. But regardless of what he was like, losing your son
is what would 100% be worse.
It's worse. I mean, like, you know, you can't – what you've got a word for this, like trauma.
Is it the layers of the circle?
Oh, no. You talked about your onions last week.
No. Like, you know, you can't like – decide who's got it worse, like that.
Oh, the pain Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the pain Olympics, but like.
Yeah, that's definitely a gold medal winning.
As Kate said before, like losing a grandparent is very different.
Exactly. No doubt what Toadie went through in his whole life and with Sonia, that was horrific and that's very upsetting.
That mural would be getting graffitied every fortnight.
It would be.
Someone would be down there touching it up every fortnight.
Yeah, Slade's tagged it 40,000 times.
She's been the devil many times. Yeah.
Maybe Toadie goes down there and does a bit of that that movie.
How many people have pissed on it at this stage?
Which
what
movie?
What was Kate's favourite movie from the summer?
Saltburn?
Yeah. Maybe that's what those bushes are all about underneath.
God, okay. I think CJ's obviously talking about the grave scene.
I am.
Hopefully not the bath scene. No, or maybe that. Maybe anyway, that's what's going on in maybe the, that's what's the penthouse, on. The bath scene.
I was really glad that Therese reminded him. I am, of course, bonded with Paul over this because I have lost a child and this has triggered me. Like, come on, Toadie.
And he was a giant liar when he looked at her and said, no, I wouldn't care. I'd say let's find another way to honour Sonia. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Mate, well, okay. Well, I'm going to go and cut down that colistemon because they're fucking ugly, mate.
Yeah, nice try, Toad, as if you wouldn't be spitting bricks if that happened to you.
Yeah.
So anyway, Paul's consoling Therese and it's all.
Meanwhile, Aaron's still going and he supported the career of Madison Robinson and her singing voice is atrocious.
Chelsea's like, not saying it. Don't say it. Well, Chelsea has this kind of final moment.
Oh, my God. She's the worst villain we've had in a long time.
She looks
just pantomime villain.
She goes over to Therese and says, oh, the plaque's missing, eh? What a shame.
Yeah.
Guess she won't be around here so much, will ya?
Therese is like, did you have something to do with this? Why are you acting weird?
She's like, oh, not me, nah, but I guess, like, you don't really need to be around here, do ya? It's like, what a freak.
Freak.
Yeah.
Freak in the sheets, not even.
No, freak in the sheets and on the streets.
And I would have thought that this signals, like, Chelsea can't be on the show long, but I don't know. I don't think she's going anywhere. The actor keeps putting up stories, like, on set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I know that, like, they might do that to kind of throw you off, but
maybe they think she's like a Finn Kelly and that we want her around longer.
I feel I read somewhere that she was actually contracted for a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a choice.
I mean, maybe – look, I enjoy her and I enjoy the character, but – oh, I don't know.
Look, everything in moderation. The final line of the episode was monologue again. It was
that didn't Paul's fill me with joy.
Voiceover. It was like, no one. Oh God, I scribbled it and I can't read it. No one is something of it like a villain. No one can. Whatever. It didn't resonate with me.
Either way, he's had a moment of self-realization that yes, he is the asshole.
Yes, he didn't have to go to Reddit.
And he picks up the photo, the wedding photo.
Oh.
And he puts it in the drawer.
The Therese and Paul.
Yeah, so while he's having this last monologue, obviously Bea's eyes just glazed over and
I was like, I've got to go to CJ's house, turning the thing off.
Because last week Chelsea said, about time you put that one away. And he hadn't yet and he did. And that holding of the hand that she did in that moment has signaled the end, I guess, of Therese's love.
Yet he'd spent part of that episode with his arm around her, consoling her.
And calling the tradies and calling, say, I want every contractor's phone number. I'm going to ring all the tips.
He's going to get out that flip phone.
Go to the tip shop, mate. That'll turn up.
Made me think of that awful murder that was on the peninsula, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. They spent weeks looking for bigger things than a little plaque and it took them weeks to find them. So don't be searching tips for things. That plaque is gone.
Tip shop, though. Give it a look.
I have to say, I mean, it's open air. It's fine. Everything's aired out.
So that's where we are, 9,000 episodes. It was a choice. They made a choice. Man Pain, deep dive.
I'd just like to let you know that Brett Bowman has sent me 21 voice memos for this episode alone.
Should we play them all? Should we send them to Patreon?
We are going to censor some. I haven't listened to them, but I know that we cannot play them all.
Okay,
legally.
Faye, you must leave in the number that Kate just said, and then our viewers will know.
Okay, yeah.
How many?
should I send some to Patreon? We'll see.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You got to be at Moneybags level to hear that.
And Brett's got to now be a patron too to the unaired. To work out how much slander has gone through.
To the unaired Brett's. I'll run and buy him. I'll run and buy Brett first. Let's not waste any time. We don't have to do any citizens or shitizens. We'll do that in the podcast proper. Let's get into what Brett's got to say. Chat next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe while you're listening to Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Oh, my God. They've chucked out the small plaque of wood that's very easily replaceable.
Don't blame me. Blame Brett.
Again, it's not like someone stole his ashes. They stole a commemorative plaque.
Don't blame me.
I had no idea that Gus's brother killed Kate. I feel sorry they killed Gus now.
Don't blame me, blame Brett.
Yeah, you just know Chelsea's getting turned on by every nefarious deed that Aaron is listing to her. I'm going to need a mop.
Don't blame me, blame it.
Also, just to point out, the mural of Sonia is a lot harder to replace than a fucking plaque. It's like 10 centimetres by 10 centimetres with some shit engraving from a trophy store.
Don't blame me, blame it.
I didn't know about that wetland stuff. I thought they were going to say that was responsible for Kerry getting shot by the duck hunters. Paul is the master villain of all. Is he neighbours Thanos?
Don't blame me, blame it.
Aaron's arms are looking exceptional this episode.
Don't blame me, blame it.
I mean, they could easily replace a plaque, like they could easily have replaced Josh with a plank of wood and no one would have noticed.
Don't blame me, blame it.
I did like how they weaved it in with Paul saying he was 9,000 years old, but I would have been happier if someone got shot or something.